Wow, do we have something to tech about, where every episode focuses on ways students create digital evidence of active learning.
As a Google for Education district, students and educators alike have free, unlimited access to apps that support creativity, collaboration, communication, and critical thinking, all elements of 21st century active learning.
We are Google for Education certified trainers, Drew and Angie, with
Something to Tech About.
Okay, well, welcome to today's episode, where we will be focusing on three tools to help amplify student voice with the use of technology. We know
every student has a voice. Every student has a voice, but they don't always share it. And technology can really help bring that alive in a classroom.
Exactly. So when we're talking about student voice, what specifically are we looking at? We're looking at not only voice, but choice as well, because those two kind of come together. If they have a choice on how they're going to present something or how they're going to show what they know, they can do that by not only choosing, but using their voice to do so.
Right. So not just speaking, but even just what are we speaking about? Mm-hmm. So there's two pieces when we talk about student voice.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Okay. I think this is one of my favorite episodes, because these are the tools that I love, and I talk to teachers over and over again. You just don't know how simple these are. And one of my favorites is Flipgrid. And it's basically a social learning tool or a video recording resource platform that allows teachers to create grids with different topics and open it up for student discussion. One of the best ones I just saw recently, Angie, the same kindergartner that did the brainstorming Google Doc,
right,
had her students, kindergarten, come up to answer the question, "What is your favorite cat or dog and why?" They were so precious. Not only did they choose their favorite, but they were able to tell why, and they are captured on video, so you can sit and watch each one of them. Basically it's an opinion piece of writing done video style.
Fun.
Yeah.
So fun.
It's cute.
It kind of reminds me of Out of the Mouths of Babes, right? That was that old 1950s, I think, show where they
have
the kids
on. I am.
Yeah, maybe so. Anyway, but getting kids to share what's important to them and expressing that, you might end up having a student who hardly ever shares anything in class.
Yes.
But if they just get to sit in front of a little recording studio, you know, in front of a laptop or something, and just share what's on their mind about the specific topic, in this case, cats or dogs, it can open up a whole different part of them that is not normally shared.
Right. And it can, there is no limit to what can be used for, you know, book talks. I've seen poetry slams, everything. And a lot of times kids, first off, are a little leery about recording their faces or whatever. So we always
kind of like us.
Yeah. Yeah. Hide in the corner or put a piece of paper that, you know, whatever they're talking about, they can put there. But Flipgrid is very easy. The teacher can choose how much recording time the students have. And I can't remember. It's what, from 90 minutes to maybe up to 5 minutes now, I believe.
Think it's seconds, 90 seconds
yes.
to 5 minutes.
Yeah, that would be right. That'd be a long time. Sorry about that. My bad. So, you know, to get started, especially with little ones, because they can ramble, you might want to start with the 90 seconds. And then, you know, as they get more in tune to what is being asked of them, and as they're willing to share more and more, to increase that amount of time.
It's so easy to use, because with Flipgrid, whether you're using a Chromebook or an iPad, really all the student has to be able to know how to do is to press the big green button.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all the technology that the student needs, is to press the green button and then to speak clearly. So for them to even come back and listen to their voice afterwards and hear teachers, who are reading teachers, to get students to read with fluency, thinking of, you know, how a student will listen to their own voice and start to bring, putting your accents in the right place and things like that is really important. I've had a teacher tell me that Flipgrid solved problems for her in her classroom that she didn't even knew she had. So that's pretty powerful.
And Flipgrid's a great way for student accountability of learning. They can record, if they were studying science, the water cycle, record what they learned about the water cycle. The teacher at any time can go in and check and listen. So if you want to try this out, please visit our show notes for this episode. And as well as if you have questions, reach out to us at
somethingtotechabout@gmail.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I could see.
We would like to mention Common Sense Media website as a resource for a guide to help students navigate a world that is ever changing.
So what if it's important to record the computer screen instead of the student's face? I know sometimes with social learning, there are lots of reasons not to record the student face. Mm-hmm. So let's just think about the content and the computer screen instead. So what tool can students and teachers use when they just want to record what's on the screen?
That would be a free app that you can find in Chrome extensions. So it's a Chrome extension that you add from the Chrome Web Store, and you would just search for Screencastify. Great way to capture digital evidence of active learning.
Happen to love Screencastify.
Me too.
I showed this tool to a group of third grade teachers, and the teacher went home immediately and created a how to use Screencastify for her third graders and taught them how to install it on their Chrome browser. And then their job was to go and do a little bit of research on, I think it was volcanoes, to tell you the truth, and then come back, put a little slideshow together, and then they had to narrate it and explain, I don't know, maybe the top three features of specific volcanoes. I don't know what the standard was, but the students were so involved and they couldn't wait to find all the things they needed to find out about volcanoes so they could put it on a Google slide and then record their voices and almost make a digital, well, not almost, they really did. So yes, though, they made this digital evidence showing the teachers that they actually did what they were setting out to do. And it was awesome. They were excited about learning. They all accomplished something and they felt very, very successful.
Right. Sorry, I wasn't in your brain there to help you out. I wasn't sure you were going with that one. But Screencastify is very powerful. It can help students deepen their knowledge. So not only are they getting the information, but then they're producing something from that information. So that is only a bonus, taking what they've learned and really... I'm at loss for words.
You're making it come alive. You're not just filling out a worksheet. You're not just going in and finding just very specific things.
Correct.
You are
producing and not consuming.
And you're coming to a deeper level of knowledge by having something be a little bit more wide open than just, you know, completing a packet.
Right. And once the students have the process down, this is also a great tool for teachers to record directions. When they're in small groups, the students can just hit the recording. Oh, instead of saying, Miss Drew, what do I do next? Remember, it's recorded. So great for teachers to work through a math problem, record, you know, their screen. So lots of possibilities for teachers and students.
Yeah, you all can't see me nodding, but I'm thinking about students becoming a little bit more independent, because as classroom teachers, how often do students come up to you and say, wait a minute, how do I do this? Or what was I supposed to do again? Mm-hmm. But if you, as the teacher, take a few minutes to record, and I'm saying really a few minutes, something that the students can listen to again and again and again, it helps them reinforce what it is they're supposed to do. It helps them bring in that memory. And also, they don't have to go ask somebody. Mm-hmm. They can help solve the problem on their own.
Right. And since we talked about Flipgrid first, if you really want to take it up a notch, you can possibly have students share their Screencastify recordings in a Flipgrid by uploading their video.
Oh, that's so sweet.
App smashing.
Yeah. I like that. Tech it up a notch. Yes.
Yeah. So for this and more, be sure to visit
our show notes
and email us with questions or how you've used it. Flipgrid, Screencastify, other things at somethingtotechabout@gmail.com.
Yeah, we'd love to hear your success stories or even the ones that aren't so successful that you might be willing to give another try. Savannah teachers, already have the Google Basics mastered? Join the Academy too to dive deeper into the features and design meaningful learning experiences for your students as you prepare for the Google Certified Educator Level 2 exam.
Our third resource today for amplifying student voice in the classroom is having students produce podcasting. And one of the easier ways we found to do that is with the app or the website called Anchor. What you got, Angie?
I love Anchor. When I first started looking into podcasting in the classroom, I've had some teachers say, well, I don't even know how to get started. And then when I found Anchor, the nice thing about it is you don't have to know anything about podcasting and you can get started with Anchor. They have all of the teacher resources and they have it just the step-by-step processes make it so that you can't mess it up unless mm-hmm. you don't say anything that makes sense.
Right.
Other than that, you're good to go.
Yeah. And with the Anchor, students can record their own voice using the built-in microphone in whatever device they're using, which is any iOS device, any Chromebook, any laptop.
Yeah, you don't need a fancy microphone or
exactly.
anything.
And there's also a record with friends. So if they want to actually have others participate in their podcast, they can invite, you know, guest speakers or...
And they can call it in. They don't have to be right in the same room mm-hmm, with them at the same mm-hmm. time, which is cool.
Okay. So I know... I haven't seen this used. Have any of your teachers put this to use yet? This is one that seems brand new. Not podcasts, but just having students create podcasts seems to be a new, like,
I've had, that I know of, I've had one teacher actually follow through with it, and she even sent me the clip.
Oh, yes. I remember.
She was a kindergarten teacher. And more of these kindergarten teachers are doing this, right?
Yeah.
This was done at election time, and they'd read a book, Duck for President. And the teacher ended up being the host for the podcast, and she interviewed her students.
Yeah.
So the students got to explain what they knew about the election process and why it was important to vote. And to hear that out of the mouth of a five-year-old is incredibly powerful, not to mention cute.
Oh, it was so cute.
Yeah, we have that on our show notes as an example. So when teachers say, oh, I don't know if my kids can do it, we're telling you if a five-year-old can do it, any kiddo can manage it and you can make it successful in your classroom.
Right. And just like with any of these tools that we talk about on all of our different episodes, it takes time. We don't learn them first off. It takes practice. If you want the kids to learn something, if you want them to be able to type efficiently, it's practice, practice, practice. And that's, you know, for anything.
Yeah,
so
just being willing to dive in and
exactly.
give it a try. You know,
yeah.
it doesn't have to be super duper successful on the first go around, but to stick with it. If you want to try podcasting or any kind of video
recording,
video recording. The first time you do it, there's always going to be little flubs and things that you say, oh, next time we're going to do this, that, or the other thing. And
yeah, and then at one point you got to say, okay, I can't talk anymore.
Call it done.
I can't smile anymore. We've got to move on.
Yeah.
And it's the content you're looking for, not the speaking skills at that point, unless, of course, you are looking for the speaking skills.
Yeah, if it's a speech class.
You know, so you're looking more for content than speed or anything else that the students may be, you know, inputting into those digital recordings.
Absolutely. So with Anchor, as students record, it all goes into this nice little library where it stores all of the segments. And then you use the segment builder and it's just a click and drag. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you can point and click and drag, you can build a podcast with Anchor. You just slide them all over, hit preview. You can listen from beginning to end, swap out different clips if you like, add some music, and boom, you're ready to go.
Absolutely.
They'll even host for you and put it on a multiple of platforms, and Anchor says it will always be free.
That's what we like. Free stuff. So anything else about podcasting, Angie?
No, I don't think so. I think just give it a try. Have a focus, have a plan, have a beginning, middle, and end, and dive in with a very short, always start small, and go for it. It'll always get better.
Absolutely.
Something we've learned.
Yeah. In today's episode, especially with the podcast, it does cover the four C's of 21st century skills. That's communication, collaboration, creativity, and critical thinking. So jump on it and let those kids produce a podcast.
And we'll publish it on our show as well.
Connect with us. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at ST Tech About. Be sure to subscribe to Something to Tech About on iTunes, Google Play, or Spotify, or listen from the podcast collection from Savannah Morning News. All right. When you decide to use video and audio to amplify student voice, Angie and I highly encourage you to focus on the process over perfection, whether it's with your process or the student process. So even as we produce these podcasts, we're having to go with the process over perfection.
Every time.
It's not a comfortable area to be in, but I think if you focus in that, getting the standards that you want your students to learn, and if that is portrayed in any of their digital productions, you've been successful.
Absolutely. And I think what happens to make this a little bit easier in classrooms is give them a time frame. And you know, you're going to have X number of minutes available to you to record today. And at the end of that time, whatever you have available is going in the podcast.
Exactly.
So, because you can get into a tendency of wanting to be as perfect as possible, and you will just keep going and going and going, and then you lose your flavor. So
yeah. So this wraps up this episode. Be sure to visit our show notes. Send us questions, comments, examples by emailing us at somethingtotechabout@gmail.com. Join us in conversations on Twitter and Facebook. And
we'd love to hear from you. And so leave us your message, and we'll be able to use your successes on our show and do some shout outs at later time.
And come back and visit us.
Give us something to tech about. Give us something to tech about.